Good morning. I can tell you this pulpit looks much nicer from the other side. Reminds me of the Super Bowl, actually. There was a play, I think it was in the third quarter, and the Carolina Panthers punted the ball and went down, and a guy named Jordan Norwood caught the ball. And there was a lot of confusion in the play. You could see that the Carolina Panther defenders thought that it was a fair catch, and so some of the guys didn't tackle him. And so he took off, broke five or six, seven tackles, headed down the sideline. And you could kind of see the start to develop. This punter, Brad Norwood, who happens to be Brad Nortman, happens to be an accountant who punts on the side. So you could kind of see this. You could kind of see this developing, that it's going to be him and this experienced return guy that meet over on the sideline. Fortunately, the last guy before he got to the punter tackled him, and he didn't have to. But I feel a little bit like that punter right now. I look out there, and there's probably 10 of you guys that could tackle this better than me. But here we are, and we know that God equips the called, and he doesn't call the equipped. So I appreciate all of you who have been praying for me, and I couldn't ask for a more gracious group to be in front of. David already said, I'm Darren. I'm married to Sandra. I have three great kids that are here, Drew, Maxwell, and Mia. And it is great to be before you this morning. There are men that have Bibles. Uh-oh, I already blew it. Better?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Fix anything else you need to, David. You're welcome to. If you need a Bible, put your hand up. If you don't own a Bible, you do now. Take it home with you. The Lord wants everybody to own his word, to have a Bible. I, too, want to say Happy Mother's Day. One of my favorite things I do each week is I stop by Dale Commons, and my mom and I go for a lap all the way around the place, and that is one of the most special times of my week. And you moms bless us in so many ways. You bless your families, your husbands, your communities, your church, and we are thankful. We appreciate it. Some of you are not called to be a mom. Some of you ladies are called to be single or called to not have children, and you are a tremendous blessing as well. Thank you. You do so much that even moms can't do. I ranked the moms in my mind this morning, and Sandra came out on top, the rest of you are great, but I actually got an email from Steel Chainsaws this morning. Happy Mother's Day and the Mother's Day specials. I've bought some crazy gifts, but I've never bought a chainsaw yet, so I'm hoping that that doesn't happen. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get started here. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you for the mothers that are here, Lord. Thank you for all the ladies that are here. Thank you for the blessing they are to all of us. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your mercy, your grace. It is just overwhelming all that you do for us. We just pray you'll bless our time here in your word. We just pray that all that we do and say will bring honor and glory to you. And just thanks again for being here with us. Okay, we're going to be in Philippians this morning. But first, we're going to read a verse out of Ephesians. And I don't really know how this thing is going to work. But if the verses should come up there. So Ephesians 2:19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Now we'll read a verse out of Philippians. Philippians 3:20. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We had the blessing a few months ago of traveling out of the country. We went to Israel, and probably my favorite part of the trip was landing in New York City. As an American citizen, whenever you're in another country, I am never just totally at ease. But when you land back on American soil, you're just like, oh man, I am glad to be an American. I'm glad to be home. How much better is it to be a citizen of heaven? How much better is it to be a part of God's family? How much better is it to have a group like this that we can fellowship with, we have kindred hearts, we are one in Christ? It really, American citizenship really pales when we compare it to the citizenship, the opportunity to be in God's family. I've thought about being in New York before, and when you visit New York, you can go out to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, and I've thought about what it would have been like to be on one of those steamships coming across from Europe or Asia, and to come there to pull into that harbor, see the Statue of Liberty, and think, wow, this is incredible. This is amazing that I get to come to a free country like this. I don't know how many of you know this, but the ships would stop first at Manhattan, and they would drop off all the first and second class passengers. And then third class and below, some of these people have been below deck for weeks or maybe months. They would take them over to Ellis Island and drop them off there, and they had to meet all the criteria and go through all of the processing. But the first and second class passengers, they just assumed, hey, if you've got money, you're going to be a great citizen. Aren't we thankful that God does not work like that? God does not look at my merits. He doesn't look at your merits. He doesn't look at our accomplishments. He only looks at the merits of Jesus. And he looks at us through that blood of Christ when he sees us. And that's the only way that we are worthy to be in God's family, to be a citizen of heaven. Our history, our sin, our skin color, none of that matters to God. God has adopted us into his family. Some of you are very close to adoption. You've adopted a child, or you've been adopted. And what a blessing that is. And God has adopted us into his family. My adoption story, briefly. After a series of unfortunate events, my grandmother was left an orphan in San Francisco. She was just 5 or 6 years old. And was a ward of the state, was put in an orphanage in Sausalito, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And her brother had came to the Central Valley here. And one day he went over for a visit. This was a Catholic orphanage, and it was actually right next to a train station. And they would not allow his parents, who had adopted him here in Modesto, to adopt her because I don't know exactly all the reasoning. So he had his own plan. He actually timed it perfectly as he was visiting his sister. He timed it perfectly, and as the train was leaving the station, he ran down the hill, jumped on the train with his sister, and came back to the valley. And that is a good reminder to me the lengths that God goes to adopt us, to bring us into his family. He gave up his own son. There are really two aspects of being a citizen of heaven or being a part of God's family. And David talked about one of them at length last week. He talked about eternal life, being in heaven, how that transfiguration gave us a little picture of what heaven looks like. And so that's one benefit of accepting Christ and being in his family is eternal life. We get to spend eternity with Jesus in his presence, in the presence of all of our loved ones who have gone on before. The second one is an abundant life. He doesn't just give us fire insurance for eternity. He gives us an opportunity to live an abundant life here on this earth. That's what we want to talk a little bit about today. When David asked me to teach, he said, just talk about something that's been on your heart. What have you been thinking about? And really the last several months, probably coinciding with Renew and all of that, I've just been overwhelmed with the blessing of being in God's family and really the opportunity we have to live an abundant life, just to serve Him with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to talk about that a little bit. We're going to use Philippians chapter 4, and I forgot I was going to start my clock, so we're all in big trouble. Sorry. We'll try to do this quickly. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 13, starting in verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Verse 5, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for everything He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And finally, verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So keep in mind, Paul's writing this letter from Rome. Philippi was the first place he visited in Europe on his missionary journey, the first church he planted. And so this letter is really just a letter of thanks to the Philippian brethren for supporting him. And he's just, again and again, he's thankful for their support. Thankful for his interaction with them. We can see in the first chapter, this church had grown. It says there were elders and deacons and there were leaders in the church. And so it had grown into something. And Paul was excited about that. And he was very thankful for their support. So it's just good perspective to remember that Paul wrote everything that he wrote in here, sitting in a Roman prison, writing this letter to the Philippians. So we want to look at five characteristics in here of what that abundant life, what that life as a family member in God's family, what that looks like a little bit. Five things. Number one, be joyful. Number two, be considerate. Three, don't worry, be prayerful. Number four, be mindful of excellent things. And number five, be content. Number one, be joyful. Verse four, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. What is joy? What does joy look like? Sometimes we hear that joy and happiness are not the same thing. And it's true, they're not. They are different. Happiness is an emotion that we express when something good happens to us. Joy is something that's much deeper. Joy is in our heart. Joy starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. But it can manifest itself in our emotions. Happiness can come from our joy. That's perfectly okay. When I think about joy in the Bible, I like to think about King David. When they were moving the ark from the, I forget where they were moving it from, but they were moving it to Jerusalem. And it says that David was so excited about this event, about being able to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, that he was singing and dancing, says he was leaping and whirling. I'm not a whirler. Some of you might be, and that's great. Never be ashamed of expressing the joy that you have in your heart through your emotions. Sometimes we try to stifle that, and never be ashamed of that joy. That joy will bring others to know the Lord. They'll wonder what you have that they don't have. Where does joy come from? Psalm 16:11 says, You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. The presence of Jesus in our hearts is where that joy comes from. That relationship that we develop in our hearts, that is where joy comes from. That is the source of our joy, Jesus. There's no other source. Nothing external can give you joy, only that relationship with Jesus. Texting has brought on an onslaught of acronyms, and I don't even know what probably any of them mean. LOL, I know what that one is. But that's probably the only one. But there's a few acronyms that stand the test of time, and one of those is JOY, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And I think that really sums it up. That is the source of joy, as you keep those things in order. One day, a few months ago, Maxwell said, he said, "Dad, I just like it so much better when you're happy." Like, okay. And that really convicted me that, maybe at that time, if you would ask me, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, then if nothing's wrong, why am I not acting joyful? Why am I not happy? And really, I think that's because we get our focus messed up. If I focus all the time on the joy I have in my heart, the relationship I have with Jesus, then it will manifest itself in my emotions to the people around me. Number two, be considerate. Verse 5, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. What does considerate mean? It just means to consider the needs, the desires, the perspectives, the opinions of the people around you. Just listen to them, respect them, be interested in them. Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others also. What are others? Who are the others? Jesus was asked a similar question. He was asked, who are our neighbors? After he had instructed them to love your neighbor as yourself. Who are our neighbors? Who are others? Jesus answered that question with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he in sharing that story, he was telling them that the Samaritans are your neighbors. Others might not always be your best friend, might not always be the most convenient person to be considerate to, may not be someone that is going to give you the time of day or be considerate in return, but we are called to be considerate to everyone. Just let people know that you care. And again, that's a tremendous way to bring them to the Lord, is just letting them know that you care. You're willing to listen to them and be considerate of them. Number three, don't worry, be prayerful. There's a song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I tried to work on a little song here, but that didn't work out. But don't worry, be prayerful. Verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. You guys have probably all heard the statistics. 90 or 92%, whatever it is, of the stuff you worry about will never happen. So there's not a lot of point in worrying about it. But we don't know what the 8% is that will happen. So we need to do something with all of those things, all those concerns, all of those problems that are facing us. And if we don't worry about it, we need to replace that with something. You're going to do something with all that stuff. And prayer seems to be the most effective way to deal with that. I thought a little bit about how God has blessed Renew. And I thought about if we would go back to last summer when Pastor David and a few others had kind of a vision to plant a church here in Modesto. And what if David would have sent out an email, sent out a text, called us and said, we're going to get together and we're going to have a worry meeting. And so we all get together, gather at somebody's house, and David says, hey, I think I really got this church planting thing figured out, but I know there are a few worries that people have, so we just wanted to get together and worry a little bit. And so if you guys don't mind getting in small groups, why don't you guys worry about the facility? why don't you guys worry about the sound equipment? You guys worry about getting servants, and let's just sit here and let's just share our worries and try to figure this out. That sounds so absurd, right? It sounds crazy. But how many times do I sit at my desk and do that same thing? I sit there and I think, okay, Darren, you got this pretty well figured out, but if I just figure a little bit more, if I just work a little bit harder, if I just worry about this a little bit more, I'm going to figure it out. And it sounds crazy on a corporate level, but we do the same thing personally all the time. I do. That we just, instead of giving it to the Lord in prayer, we worry about it. It's not going to work. How much prayer is enough? How much prayer is enough? The Bible says prayer without ceasing. I would say whenever you pray enough that your worry is gone, then you're done. Whenever you pray enough that it totally replaces the anxiousness and the worry in your heart, then you can stop praying. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. So keep on praying. What's the result of prayer? Verse 7 tells us that we will experience God's peace. It says it's a peace that we can't even understand. And thank God that he is somebody that we can't understand. He answers prayer in ways that we wouldn't. But he gives us a peace knowing that he's doing the right thing, that he is answering the prayer in the right way. And I don't want to minimize any of your circumstances. I know there are plenty of things to worry about. But I think as we can turn that worry into prayer, we will all be much better off. Number 4, be mindful of excellent things. Verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What do I think about? What occupies my thoughts? What do I do when I have time to just sit and think? Technology today gives us a limitless amount of information. We can just fill our mind full of anything. Some of it good, some of it maybe just okay, some of it not good. And I think there are two keys to this. And the first one is just being careful of what comes through the gates of our mind, our eyes, our ears, places we go, all of that. Being careful with that, allowing the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom in that, being accountable to someone else with all of that. And the second thing is Romans 12:2 tells us really the most important key to this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So bring good stuff into your mind, and then let the Holy Spirit use that to build godly character in your life. Be mindful of excellent things. I love that word, excellent. I think the King James says good, but I like excellent. Number 5, be content. Verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I noticed this week that content and content are spelled exactly the same, just a little difference in pronunciation. And sometimes I'm guilty of, and probably some of you are too, is we kind of think they mean the same thing. We think that if I can get enough content in my bank account, if I can get enough content behind my name, If I can get enough content in my gun safe or my jewelry box or you name it, whatever it is, we think that that's going to mean contentment. And content does not equal contentment. Reminds me, I think I was probably 8 years old. I walked in the back door of my house and I heard my dad talking to my mom in the kitchen. And I was kind of trying to listen, kind of not, because it was almost Christmas time. But I heard my dad say, I went ahead and bought the $64 bike. And I was just elated. I was like, the $64 bike. The one that I had wore the Montgomery Ward catalog out looking at the $64 bike. It had the two number plates, the pad on the handlebars. That was all new stuff in the 70s. And I thought, this is just amazing. My mom would go down McHenry to go to Designer Fabrics, and I would beg her to stop at Montgomery Ward and look at this, look at that $64 bike. But how long was I content with that? It was a great blessing for a while, but probably until the $65 bike came out. I don't know. All of us could probably make a list of things that we have tried, places we've gone, accomplishments that we've tried for, goals that we've set to reach contentment. And we've never reached it by trying it that way. The only way we can reach it, Paul actually tells us here in just a little bit. I'm going to save that. I thought about, how much is enough? The John Rockefeller quote that we've all heard is, how much money is enough? Just a little bit more. And I just thought about myself with like this stick, you know, and this, you see the carrot hanging out there, and just hang out there whatever your goal is right now, whatever you're reaching for, whatever you think is going to be it. If it's health, if it's wealth, if it is a job, if it's some situation in your family that needs to be fixed, if I can just grab a hold of that, then everything is going to be fine. I'm going to be content. And that's not true. It's just not going to happen. I just like that picture. It's a good reminder for me to not try to grab a hold of contentment with anything that I come up with. Paul says that he is content with whatever he has. Does that mean he is content because he is in prison or because he doesn't have a lot of material goods, so he's content with that? No. It's not telling us that we should be content with what we have. It's telling us that contentment is coming from somewhere else. We should be content, but not because of what we have or what we don't have. We should be content because of this next verse, verse 12. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach, with plenty, or with little. So the secret that Paul's talking about is the same thing that will allow you to do all of these other things, to be joyful, to give everything to the Lord in prayer, to be content, to be mindful of excellent things. What's the other one? Is that all five? Don't worry, be prayerful, be considerate. That's the other one. So this secret that Paul is talking about will allow us to get back to where we're at here. Will allow us to find all of those things. And that secret is listed in verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Only through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can we do any of these things. Can we find true joy? Can we find contentment? Can we be considerate? Can we pray enough? All of these things can only be done through the work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those immigrants that were on Ellis Island, and I've thought about after that, they take them over and drop them off in Manhattan. Even in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was still a bustling city. It was still a city with a ton of people and so much going on. And I don't know that the government gave them anything, but probably not. They probably had a few dollars in their pocket, maybe a bag with a few clothes. But they weren't very equipped for a new life on a new continent, maybe a language they didn't speak. They weren't very equipped for that. But fortunately, God doesn't just drop us off in this life with no tools, with nothing to equip us. He gives us so much. He gives us His Word. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And He gives me all of you to do this life together with. And all of that is a tremendous blessing. All of us still need to grow. None of us, I don't think, have arrived yet at where we need to be with this abundant life. Some of my families here, my coworkers, friends, they would all say, yep, Darren still needs to work on all of these. And I do. Paul says it like this in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Anybody here that does not know Jesus, who has not been adopted into God's family, today could be the day. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to give you eternal life, which is an amazing blessing, an unspeakable blessing, to live forever in God's presence. He also wants to give you an abundant life. Whatever your life, whatever your situation is, God can work in that. He can change that to his glory. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, make sure you talk to somebody afterwards. There are people with lanyards on. Most of the people around you would love to pray with you and talk to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being a citizen in your kingdom. Thank you that you've adopted us into your family. Thank you that you have saved us, that you give us eternal life, that we get to look forward to eternity in your presence, Lord. And we, not only that, Lord, but you also want to give us an abundant life. Just help us to allow the Holy Spirit to mold us and change us, and just to develop the character of Jesus in our lives. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.